Start the Senate Rules Committee. It is, let's see, it's February the 14th, Wednesday. Happy Valentine's Day to all, to those in the audience, as well as to those who dare enough to watch this Senate Rules Committee hearing today that's being live streamed. Why don't we establish a quorum? We're going to be a little short today. A few of our colleagues are not with us today with excused absences, but we're going to establish a quorum being short nonetheless. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins, Atkins here, Berryhill, Leyva, Leyva here, Canella, De Leon.
Here.
De Leon here.
Thank you very much, Madam Secretary. Colleagues, we've established a quorum. I'm going to ask for a motion for file items number 2 through 10. File items number 2 through 10. Can I get a motion? We have a motion made by Ms. Leyva. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins, Atkins aye, Berryhill, Leyva, Leyva aye, Canella, De Leon.
Aye.
De Leon aye.
Colleagues, thank you very much. File item numbers 3 through 10 have passed on a 3-0 vote. We have two appointees today before us. We have the Chief Deputy Director of the Healthcare Services Department. That is Ms. Erica A. Sperbeck. I hope I pronounced that correctly, Sperbeck. Why don't you come on up? Thank you very much. Ms. Sperbeck, why don't you, if there's anyone, any loved ones, friends, relatives that you would like to introduce and recognize, please do so. Give us a synopsis of your person, and then we'll go to questions, commentaries, answers from the members.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'd like to acknowledge my family here today. First, my significant other, best friend, and mentor, Steve Kessler, who in his own right is one of the best executives state government ever knew. And my just-turned 14-year-old daughter, Grace, is here, and without a doubt is my pride and joy, although the teenage years are a bit confounding at times, I will say.
It is a war zone. I tell you. I'm not saying you, Grace. You know?
And also, I was going to do a shout-out in absentia to the long line of civil servants that I come from, but unbeknownst to me, my mom, Nancy Freeman, joined us here today, and I just, it's, thanks for being here, Mom. I credit her and the rest of my family with instilling in me a strong work ethic as well as a passion for serving Californians. So thank you, Mr. Chair, esteemed members. With more than 26 years in California state government, I am committed to organizational excellence, integrity, accountability, as well as meaningfully serving Californians. I think there's no better way to do that, no more foundational way than providing healthcare services to some of our most vulnerable residents. As Chief Deputy Director for Policy and Program Support at the department, I like to look at my job in three buckets, departmental and Medi-Cal operations, health data analytics. Isn't that better? Can you hear me? Oh, there we go. So I like to look at my job in three buckets. Scoot this chair up, sorry. Departmental and Medi-Cal operations, health data analytics, and also program integrity functions. And what that really means is that my objective is to ensure that the department has the requisite workforce, funding, information, technology, and tools necessary to deliver our programs. Also, given the significant investment in the Medi-Cal program by both state and federal dollars, I champion program integrity. So I am honored and humbled at the opportunity to serve in Governor Brown's administration under Director Kent and Secretary Dooley's leadership and in close partnership with my co-Chief Deputy Director and State Medicaid Director, Mary Cantwell. And I appreciate your consideration of my appointment here today and would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sperbeck. Why don't we start? Ms. Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem, and thank you so much for being here. I appreciate the time I was able to get with you yesterday to talk about a number of issues, particularly procurement, IT, a number of the ongoing issues that you're grappling with in terms of the computer system. I don't really have any comments, Mr. Pro Tem. I had a lot of good conversation and questions answered. I will just, for the record, say I really do appreciate the conversation we had about issues not related to your direct responsibilities, but as part of the management team that you sit on, you were able to hear my concerns about various programs and pieces of legislation and my concerns around those issues. And I appreciate your willingness to carry that back to the management team greatly. And obviously your experience in the work that you've done as a public and civil servant really reflects in the thought you gave and how you really heard my issues and concerns on behalf of my constituents and programs that are really important. So I'm good, Mr. Pro Tem. I just wanted to be sure and put that on the record. I don't know who is here to speak publicly, but in case any of those concerns come up that are not related to the actual job that Ms. Spivak does, but because she is part of a management team and able to carry a message, I just wanted to put that on the record. But well qualified, happy to support your appointment today.
Thank you, Senator Atkins.
Ms. Leyva.
Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem. Good afternoon, Ms. Spivak. I enjoyed meeting with you as well, and I appreciate you taking on this huge responsibility. We did have some conversation about the LEA and the Medi-Cal billing, and you indicated that you thought that that had been worked out. So my follow-up question is, how soon do we think that that will be instituted?
Thank you, Senator Leyva. I appreciate the questions. I did take that issue back. As you know, we do value our partnership with the schools in terms of the local educational agency program. I am awaiting a timeline. What I will tell you is that I commit to get back with you the time that we think it will take. If we're unable to get the changes that you and your constituents are interested in into the currently pending state plan amendment and have to do a new state plan amendment, we will circle back with you and let you know how long that will take. Once we get those changes submitted to the federal government, they generally take 90 days to get back to us. Sometimes that's with an approval. Sometimes it's with a request for additional information. So that process can be protracted. But I commit to you to commit to a timeline and then keep you posted over time.
I appreciate that. As we talked about, our community college students are some of our neediest students. So whatever we can do to help them be able to get their education and lead a better life, we want to do that. Thank you. No further questions, Mr. Pro Tem.
Thank you very much, Ms. Leyva. Colleagues, what we're going to do is we're going to go to witnesses, those in support today of today's nominee. For the folks who are in support of Ms. Serbeck, please line up behind the microphone. If not, okay, for those who are in opposition today's nominee, no opposition, okay. Those who are neutral, agnostic. I'm seeing none at all. Okay. Well, I will say that, you know, I will take Ms. Atkins and Ms. Leyva's is comments is a shot of confidence in your abilities to fulfill the responsibilities that are bestowed on you by virtue of the appointment of the governor, Governor Jerry Brown. I'd like to move a motion, if we can have a motion for Ms. Serbeck. Can we entertain a motion? We have a motion made by Ms. Leyva Sargent, can you please, you know, take that. We have a motion made by Ms. Atkins. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins?
Aye.
Atkins, aye. Berryhill? Leyva? Leyva, aye. Canella? De Leon?
Aye.
De Leon, aye.
Ms. Serbeck, congratulations. You pass on a 3-0 vote. Congratulations.
Thank you. Chair, could I indulge you just for a minute? I would be remiss if I didn't acknowledge my two best girlfriends also came here to support me today.
Okay.
As well as my new DHCS family, Director Kent and others are here. So I would be remiss if I didn't give them a shout out. So
oh, okay.
Thank
there
you very
you go,
much.
Right there. Okay. Alrighty, fantastic. Last but not least, we have before us for the position of Director. The Director of VCA, Director of Consumer Affairs, that is Dean Grafillo. Mr. Dean Grofilo, welcome, one of our own. Welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
So much for having me.
So why don't we do this? I think you know the drill by witnessing it just a few moments ago. If there are any loved ones that you want to introduce, please do so. And we'll do a synopsis of your person, and then we'll go to questions and answers from the members. Okay.
So family here today is my mother, Anna Mae Pettis, her husband of 30 years, Jim Pettis, my father, Hal Grofilo, recently celebrated his birthday and is still jet-lagged from arriving from the Philippines on Monday. My brother and sister, Mark and Mary. My mother's sister, Auntie Mayrose. And before I introduce three very, very important individuals in my life, I'd be remiss not to pay respects to my grandparents, who have all passed but are definitely here in spirit. On my mother's side, Dennis and Rosario Albert, and on my father's side, Edward and Florinda Vicroy. Not the most traditional Filipino surnames, to be sure, but explaining that would run this hearing past it.
And let me ask a question, and thank you very much for that. Just for the record, Terry Brennan is not a family member, is he? Because so, he has somehow situated himself in the very front, you know.
Despite the number of times that he's, you know, tried to be my uncle. I've refrained.
And to your family, este mabuhay, you know. I don't speak Tagalog very well. I only speak Ilocano, so, you know, for the record, you know.
And then finally, most important, three individuals who inspire me every day. My two daughters, Lizelle Malia and
welcome,
Olivia. And my true partner, life and crime, my wife of 20 years, Marisa Valoria.
Welcome. Okay.
Senate Pro Tem De Leon, senators, committee staff, thank you so much again for allowing me to be here today. I wanted to mention my grandparents, who were part of that first immigrant generation, affectionately known as Manongs, because for so many of these men and women that came from the Philippines and weren't certain whether crossing the Pacific Ocean was the right thing to do, I say thank you. Not only did they help create better opportunities for myself, themselves, their children, grandchildren, and without a doubt, their great-grandchildren, if it weren't for their bold steps, I'd never have the opportunity to be here before you to ask for your vote to confirm Governor Brown's appointment of me as director for Department of Consumer Affairs. On that topic, I thank Governor Brown for entrusting in me all that is needed to carry out the mission of the department toward reaching the highest level of consumer protections while helping to ensure licensees and businesses have a fair environment to compete. I feel very blessed that my entire professional career afforded me opportunities that ring true to my core values and convictions of social justice and fairness, while partnering with many individuals that pushed me to do better, to build upon previous successes, and to innovate. That was definitely my experience in the 13 years I worked in or near the legislature, and I'm so glad it's been the same these past 11 months as director. To no surprise, while having the opportunity to speak with you and your staff before today's hearing, being encouraged, feeling supported to do better was again my experience. Thank you. With such a win at my back, it's my hope that while I'm director at Consumer Affairs, working side by side with its great senior executive team, many of them are here today, and the immeasurably talented and dedicated thousands of individuals that make up the department staff who are truly the backbone of the organization, that we're able to set the bar nationally, if not globally, when it comes to consumer protections. In particular, during the short time I've been at DCA, my current goals are primarily related to effectively implementing or addressing issues I've inherited. Prop 64, which I envision will be a regulatory model on a global scale for cannabis. Business modernization, which is a crucial step for our programs to harness the power of technology and data analytics to assist with administering its respective program, and removing potential barriers to licensure, which could help thousands get on the right track toward being productive and engaged members of society. I think all of you would agree that California is the greatest state in our nation, in part because of how bold and forward-thinking we craft our public policies. I believe we can continue to be a leader in this space for California's consumers in all the areas under the department's umbrella. While that may sound grandiose, I'm not interested in selling ourselves and California in short by aiming our sights on that which isn't grand. I look forward to strengthening our partnership and continuing our conversation today toward what I hope will be the next step in me asking for your vote to confirm my appointment as director for the Department of Consumer Affairs. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have for me at this time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Grafillo, why don't we go to questions and answers? Ms. Leva.
Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem. Good afternoon, Mr. Grafillo. I enjoyed meeting with you yesterday or the day before. I don't remember which one it was. And we had a very productive discussion. I think you're taking on a very big job, and we appreciate you being willing to do that. Just a couple questions. The Board of Registered Nursing's recent decision to approve training on an unproven procedure raises some questions about the standards it uses to approve training and whether it followed those standards. Specifically, I'm talking about the continuing education training that promises to reverse medicated abortions. And my concern is that this training is not scientific, that it is just one doctor's thought down in San Diego. So I'm just concerned that we're not using science-based evidence to train our nurses in their continuing education. If you could talk a little bit about that.
Sure. appreciate the question. Be assured that you alone aren't the only one that has this concern. Different stakeholders have expressed that concern, both to BRN as well as to DCA. As you may very well know, because of the semi-autonomous nature that the department has with our boards, it's not as if DCA can, you know, directly say, do A, B, C, D. We work collaboratively. We work in a partnership with our boards and specific to BRN on this issue. We've provided guidance in terms of providing clarity on the regulation. And coincidentally, tomorrow, BRN will be meeting to discuss this issue specifically, and I'll be more than happy to report back the outcome of tomorrow's meeting to you.
I would very much appreciate that. Thank you. My next question goes to cannabis. You have a very wide a wide array of responsibilities. 2 weeks ago, the California Growers Association filed a lawsuit against the state, arguing that its agricultural licenses would allow the cannabis industry to become Big Tobacco 2.0. What are your thoughts on that?
So specific to the CGA's lawsuit, that's specific, as you probably know, specific to the California Department of Food and Ag on the 1 acre canopy. That entity obviously isn't under DCA. The Bureau of Cannabis Control is that licensing is a whole different part of the cannabis space. And so if I missed the point of your question specific to the lawsuit.
How do we make sure that cannabis doesn't become Big Tobacco 2.0?
So yes, concern not only of CGA's. Coincidentally, when I was staff in the building for one of the lead authors of the medicinal cannabis bill, specifically current Assemblymember Bonta, I was able to learn about that issue in generally. I believe the regulations that we are currently in, specifically the emergency regulations, those are primarily designed to ensure that we're able to basically open the doors on January 1. We are now about ready to commence in the regular rulemaking process. Having seen a successful emergency reg process, I'm confident that via the emergency regs, issues such as that will be more clearly vetted, and as stakeholders get involved in that, they'll be able to, again, be engaged on that specific issue.
Okay, very good. My other question related to cannabis is, how do we make sure now that marijuana is legal, we keep it out of the hands of children? Colorado saw a spike in marijuana-related pediatric visits to ERs and poison control centers after recreational cannabis became legal in 2014. I know that there's been a lot of work done to make sure that we aren't marketing to children or marketing inadvertently to children, but it's a huge concern to me. How do you see your role as director helping us to make sure that doesn't happen?
So I envision having a direct role specific to ensuring public safety of all, especially children. As I mentioned previously, in my limited role in previous legislation, many folks expressed a concern of the potential ill health effects of cannabis on children. You'll be happy to know that the emergency regs does address it in a direct way. Granted, as I mentioned earlier, via the regular rulemaking process, I think there will be even a more comprehensive and robust way to ensure that cannabis does not in fact negatively impact children.
Very good. I appreciate that, and I appreciate if you keep a close eye on that because we do all have children. But thank you very much for being willing to take on this big role, and we wish you success. I look forward to confirming you today.
Thank you very much.
Welcome. Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem.
Ms. Leyva. Ms. Atkins.
Thank you, Mr. Pro Tem, and it's good to see you. Obviously, I feel like I have prior experience working with you, so I appreciate the fact, certainly in your opening statement, how seriously you take and how committed you take this responsibility. So I appreciate that. I also have the benefit of knowing a number of people who serve on the boards that you oversee in terms of the leadership and the consumer protection standards. And I do agree with you in some of your comments about California serving as a model for other states. So, and certainly to follow Senator Leyva's comments about the regulatory framework and cannabis, I think your department has done a great deal to get to integrate recreational use and medicinal use in a short time frame. And want to say how much I appreciate the heads of departments coming down to do the public outreach information. That's been really helpful to my communities. So all of it is really good. I know that you are the right person to do this job. I only have one question, and it's really more from a broad perspective. You're right now going through, many of these boards are going through sunset review, conversations at some of our committees. The issue in terms of license fees increasing in order to cover the cost of the services provided by the administration departments to these boards, there's a little bit of a concern about the rising fees and the services that those boards get, particularly as it relates to IT. So that's a big challenge. Do you want to comment on that just briefly? Because I think it is of concern to a number of the boards.
Sure. No, appreciate your comments before the specific question. I absolutely enjoy engaging directly with Californians specific to cannabis and otherwise. Enjoyed and doing it in San Diego recently as well. Specific to sunset review fees and the potential impacts on boards related to services. So in the 11 months that I have been over at DC, I've been trying to get a good understanding of kind of the financing of the department and its boards and bureaus and programs. It is one of the more challenging issues, subjects that I've tried to wrap my head around. It's not necessarily intuitive to understand the financing of the department and the programs. Related to fees, we do our best to try to get a fee assessment of our program so that no one is caught off guard of needing a potential fee increase, whether it's during sunset review or otherwise. And we hope that via a fee audit, a fee assessment, everyone, again, can plan for that. Now, specific to whether or not boards, bureaus, and programs feel that the fees assessed is justified or otherwise, in the 11 months that I have been there, there has been quite the mix of opinion on whether or not the fees again are specific and relevant to the services. And you, as you can imagine, a board or program that has hundreds of staff versus a board or program that has literally two people on staff, they're going to have a different opinion on whether or not, again, the fees justifies the services provided. What I've tried to do, my team has tried to do, is ensure that everyone understands in a truly transparent way how the program is being assessed fees, and then specifically the kind of services that DCA, others are directly providing those programs. So we've had a workshop specific to pro rata. It started before I came on board. And during these past, again, 11 months that I've been director, there's been it's been a great vehicle for executive officers, DCA, to have a open, honest conversation about the transparent nature that we're trying to provide with programs understanding fees.
Thank you. I would say the comment I've gotten is that the department provides incredible support for things like strategic planning for future of the boards and as they do their strategic planning individually. So I've had a lot of really positive feedback on that. So I commend you. I certainly support this appointment wholeheartedly. To the administration and well above your pay grade, whether it was this the previous appointment or this one, there are serious IT programmatic issues, BREEs. We are the sixth largest economy in the world, unless I stand corrected by Mr. Pro Tem. One day it's five, one day it's six. We are a large entity, and our IT, our cybersecurity, our technology has been, I think, the biggest issue that has impacted our ability, the cost, the procurement, all of those things, and each department has had some issues with this, and I think that gets to the fee issue and the how we pay for it and costs get spread out. I think this is bigger than your position. I think this has to be a conversation at a higher level of what are we doing when these procurements don't turn out the way we think they should. And you are handed this ball. And so I wanted to bring it up as an issue, but it is not yours to solve necessarily. So I send that to others, obviously, and those of us who have to evaluate whether we think money is being spent effectively and what happens when we're half in and we're not happy with the result or we have to change course. As it relates to you, I congratulate you. I think you are the excellent person for this position. Not surprised at all that the governor made a determination to appoint you to this, and happy to support the nomination or the appointment today and make the motion.
Thank you, Senator Atkins.
Thank you very much, Ms. Atkins. Let me go back to a subject matter that Ms. Leyva touched upon, which was Prop 64. And before that, obviously, we had the medicinal use of cannabis, and now we have the recreational use of cannabis. Share with us what preparations you have organized in anticipation of a federal crackdown. We know that Jeff Sessions and others at the federal level have made very ominous threats towards our state on a variety of issues. The latest one, obviously, is now that it is the law of the land because it's constitutional per the voters last year. The potential threat, obviously, to arrest and shut down, whether you're a grower, whether you're a dispensary, whether you're a consumer. What is DCA, what have you done in your leadership so far, or at least with your team, your staff, to prepare?
Appreciate that question. Yes, there was some concern, obviously, when the current national administration revoked the Cole memo. To your point and to others, in partner with the legislature, the Bureau of Cannabis Control agency in which DCA is under, the governor's office has been explicit in wanting to ensure that we protect the will of the voters in California specific to Prop 64. We are confident that as long as we continue down the path of a strong, robust regulatory framework, that provides less wiggle room for a quote-unquote federal crackdown. As I mentioned earlier, as long as we continue to partner with the other licensing entities, the legislature, others, and towards, again, a robust, strong regulatory framework specific to cannabis, that will continue to be in the vein of the will of the people via Prop 64. We're ready to protect the will of the voters.
Okay. Why don't we go to those who are in support of today's nominee? Those in support, I'm going to ask, because I see we have a large crowd, and we have Terry Brennan here. So I'm assuming SEIU needs two, you know, folks. You know. why don't we do this? Since we have a large group of individuals, I'm going to ask you to be very brief, perhaps maybe about 30 seconds at the most. Identify yourself and share just a few words on why you're in support of today's nominee. Ms. Hernandez.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Alma Hernandez, and I'm here on behalf of the 700,000 workers at SEIU California. We have a rule at SEIU: when there's little opposition and it looks like you've got it, keep it short and keep it moving. So that's what I'm going to do. I don't testify too often for these sorts of things, but when Dean called and asked if I were to come in and voice my support and our organization's support for his appointment, I couldn't say no. I've known Dean since the days of Alberto Torrico, and we've had many, many fights for equality and justice and immigrant rights, as his story has shared, as the story that he shared with you. And more importantly, in his role at Department of Consumer Affairs, it's a very important piece for our members, not only because our members work there, and he is a big believer in strong labor management relationships that he started immediately and he continues to do so, but because so many of the policies that he works on impact our members directly. And there's no better person for this position than Dean Grifillo. So we respectfully ask for your support for this, and thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hernandez. Mr. Brennan.
Mr. Pro Tem and Senators Terry Brennan, I want to first thank you, and his family really appreciates the clarification that I am not, in fact, one of his family members. But I have been fortunate to watch his children grow up and for him to be a friend of mine for a long time. And as a golf life partner, I'm going to attest to the fact in the last 11 months, his game has really suffered because of his dedication and commitment to his new appointment. We appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next witness in support.
Mr. Chairman, members, Randy Perry with Aaron Reed and Associates on behalf of the professional engineers in California government, the California Athletic Trainers Association, and the California Funeral Directors Association in strong support. We have more here, but they at my age, they only give me half the testimony these days.
Thank you very much. Next witness in support.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and Senators. Joshua Golka with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees, also in support.
Thank you very much. Next witness in support.
Hi, Jennifer Tannehill with Aaron Reed and Associates on behalf of the California Optometric Association, California Dental Hygienists Association, and the California Society for Respiratory Care. Dean is fair and responsive. We've enjoyed working with him, and we look forward to his confirmation and fully support him.
Thank you. Next witness in support.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Ivan Altamura on behalf of Occupational Therapy Association of California in support of this appointment. We really appreciate your thoughtfulness and your accessibility and look forward to working with you further in the future.
Thank you very much. Next witness is important.
Mr. Chairman and members, Jai Sukhprasad, representing the 240,000 classified school employees in our public schools and colleges, in strong support of Mr. Grifillo.
Thank you very much, Jai. Next witness is important.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, Bryce Dougherty with KP Public Affairs. Obviously, Dean's a very passionate person about his work, very infinitely capable of guiding the department. And on behalf of the California Ambulatory Surgery Association, California Society of Anesthesiologists, California Orthopedic Association, and the Hearing Healthcare Providers of California, we strongly urge your confirmation of the appointment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next witness in support.
Good afternoon. Mary McCune, representing California Dental Association. We stand here in support of Dean. We've actually had the opportunity to work with him in his capacity as interim, and we look forward to continuing our work with him and his open nature and willingness to work on solutions. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman and members, Gary Cooper, representing the California Association of Oral and Maxillofacial Surgeons, and we are in strong support of Mr. Grifillo's nomination. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Kirk Blackburn of Ellison Wilson Advocacy, here on behalf of our clients, including the United Nurses Associations of California, in CASE, Bargain Unit 2, in strong support. Thank you very much.
Mr. Pro Tem, members, Christy Bauma, honored to be here on behalf of the California Professional Firefighters. To support Mr. Grafilo, I'd like to associate myself with Alma Hernandez's remarks. The sincerity in the words are exactly how we feel.
Thank you very much. Next witness in support.
Mr. Pro Tem and members, Kobe Pizzotti with the California Association of Psychiatric Technicians. We've known Dean for a very long time, dating back to his days in the building, and we found him to be incredibly thoughtful and deliberative and has always had an open door. So we couldn't support this more. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next witness in support.
Jody Hicks representing Planned Parenthood Affiliates of California in support of Dean Grafilo. And I can't stand up here without taking a personal note because Dean is such a great person and so is his family, and I've enjoyed knowing them all of this time. And I've been a colleague of Dean's. I've lobbied Dean. I've hired Dean. His honesty.
Did you fire Dean?
I have never fired Dean. And please don't do that today. But his honesty and integrity and leadership skills, the consumers of California will be, he'll be a great asset for them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next witness in support. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Pro Tem, Senator Atkins, Senator Leyva. I submitted a letter yesterday in support of the nomination and confirmation. But as I wrote the letter, I found it impossible to summarize 25 years of friendship in writing. You just can't do it. As I said, we've known each other for 25 years. I'm very proud to say that Mr. Grafilo was one of my first staffers when I came to the Assembly in 2004. Since then, he's grown on to much bigger and better things, of course. I have not proven to be an anchor on his career, thankfully. Chief of staff for two members. It is not enough to say that he's grown and he's been extremely effective in those positions. He's thrived in all of those positions, and I think the last year or so has proven the same in his position as director. I think that this is an inspired choice by Governor Brown. I think that you have before you, and Mr. Grafilo, what it exemplifies to be a public servant. I think all of you do the same. You put your name on a ballot, you dedicate your life to improving people's lives. Mr. Grafilo has done that, and I think the consumer portion of the job, the consumer representation, the consumer protection portion of his job, there's no one better suited than Mr. Grafilo, so I urge the support of the confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next witness is support.
Ed Howard, Howard Advocacy, on behalf of the United Food and Commercial Workers. It's pretty hard to follow that, other than to say that UFCW has enormously enjoyed working collaboratively with you to make sure that cannabis is well and thoroughly regulated on behalf of consumers and workers. It's been really terrific. We're really thankful for your open door policy, and we respectfully urge your IVO. Thank you.
Next witness in support.
Mr. Chair, members, Dominic Damari here on behalf of Pest Control Operators of California and a group of individuals who have been friends with Dean for a long, long time, former colleagues and now lobbyists who really miss seeing him since he got appointed to this position because he actually kind of classed us up a little bit. And and he was the best of us. So this is a great appointment on behalf of the governor. We fully support this appointment and your confirmation thereof. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next witness in support.
Ryan Spencer, on behalf of the California Academy of Eye Physicians and Surgeons and the California Podiatric Medical Association, in support, obviously, of Dean Grafilo. Dean's been a longtime friend, a former colleague, and a fantastic colleague, and an overall outstanding public servant, and I think you guys can't do any better than appointing him or approving his confirming him, sorry, to the as director of Department of Consumer Affairs. Thank you.
Was he in support? Mark Weideman, on behalf of the California Society of Dentist Anesthesiologists, on behalf of the California Society of Health System Pharmacists, and on behalf of the California Chiropractic Association, in strong support of Mr. Grafilo's confirmation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Weideman, thank you.
Michael Young, on behalf of the California Labor Federation. We've worked with Mr. Grafilo for a number of years, and he really cares about the issues affecting working families, so we strongly support his appointment and confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next one is in support.
Janice Norman, on behalf of the California Medical Association. Our association is intimately familiar with Mr. Dean and his work, and despite that, we're still very supportive of his confirmation. Looking forward to continuing our working relationship with him. You could not have done any better. Thank you.
Got a new look, right? You're sporting right now.
Marvin Pineda with La Cooperativa Campesina de California and the Coalition of Human Rights of LA. We want to thank Mr. Grafilo for always having an open door to the immigrant communities and for always listening to our problems and helping us solve those. So we ask for your support.
Thank you very much. Next one is Mr. Miller.
Chairman, members, George Miller on behalf of Dean Grafilo, for Dean Grafilo. Love you.
Any other witnesses in support? Any other witnesses in support? Seeing none. Any witnesses in opposition? Any witnesses in opposition? Seeing none. Those who just have concerns. Okay. Seeing none. Let me. Any tweeners? You know. Let me say the following. And I know that you had the privilege. And the honor to serve with three outstanding members of the assembly, notwithstanding one of those individuals, you know, who's present here today, you know. But you worked for chief of staff for Mr. Rob Bonta. You worked for chief of staff for an outstanding assembly member, Mr. Warren Frattani, and you worked also too for Mr. Alberto Torrico, the former majority leader, you know. Out of these three individuals, Mr. Bonta, Mr. Frattani, as well as Mr. Torrico, which was your favorite member?
The one who's here today.
This is live stream, by the way. And there's an actual one who's a member right now.
Absolutely appreciate the question. As you know, it's similar to trying to pick your favorite.
We're trying to figure out if you can be honest under pressure, and if you can be candid, or if you can be very political, and you know.
I am going to answer diplomatically in the sense that, without a doubt, with the experiences that I did have with those three great members, there is no way that I am here before you today. Each of those experiences were great in that it was eye-opening. I was able to work on some very, very meaningful things that I carry to my role as director. And so, again, I'm truly blessed to work with those three great members.
I think you worked with three really outstanding members, obviously Mr. Rob Bonta from Oakland, from down in the East Bay, from Newark, Hayward, Fremont, Mr. Torrico, and obviously down from South Bay, Los Angeles, Gardena. In other areas surrounding the community, Mr. Warren Frattani, three outstanding individuals, no doubt about it. We do want to ask, you know, Ms. Atkins, and I think Ms. Leyva, myself, our two colleagues are not here today, but they did ask the following questions to our vice chair, Mr. Berryhill and Mr. Canella. Want to know a little bit about your leadership style and your approach to teamwork. It's something perhaps I should have asked you a little earlier today, not after the testimony, but we did receive some very honest, some very candid feedback from former colleagues of yours and team members, folks who you worked with, folks who you supervised as well in the three respective offices, Mr. Torrico, Mr. Frattani, as well as Mr. Bonta. And I do want to have this opportunity for you to respond to the issues that they articulated to us, this committee. This is in terms of your style. I think it gives us a little insight with regards to your potential leadership at the helm of the DCA. In terms of your approach to teamwork, they raised the following concerns with regards to your person. One, you don't pass the ball, even when a teammate is wide open. You take bad shots. You're disrespectful of opponents and abusive towards referees. You refuse to sub out even when you're too tired to keep running. Yeah. So, I mean, do you accept these criticisms, or do you believe they're valid?
So I suspect that the perspective may have been gleaned from a very esteemed staff member on the Rules Committee. And so I had the honor of playing soccer many a days with Mr. Lawrence Cooper. And every time he said, "Dean, get off the field," I was quick to get off the field.
Jeez, that's some moxie calling you out publicly like that. In short, what that demonstrates is you'll be quick to throw someone under the bus openly and publicly. Yeah. It's very instructive to your leadership style. Yeah, So with that, it's an honor. Listen, we have worked together since our days at the Assembly when we have known each other, when I came in as a freshman, and when you worked with Mr. Tirico, and you have been fantastic overall, and it's a sense of pride, you know, so to, even though you're never a member of this body, the Senate, you are of this institution, and it gives us a sense of pride, too, that you're taking the helm of this position at the DCA in the executive branch, and we wish you the best of luck. We want you to do well, and you make us very proud. So with that, why don't we entertain a motion? We have a motion? Okay, we have a motion that's been made by Ms. Atkins. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Atkins, aye. Atkins, aye. Berryhill, Leyva,
aye.
Leyva, aye. Canella, De Leon,
aye.
De Leon, aye.
On a unanimous vote, you pass on a 3-0 vote. Congratulations. And let me say for the record, since everyone is here right now, today is a special day also, too, for one of our own here in the Senate. It is no other than Tim Shelley's birthday, you know? Happy birthday, Tim. You're dismissed. You can leave. Yeah. Okay. So, colleagues, what we're going to do is we're going to go to an executive session. It should be very brief. We'll wait till folks exit the room, and then we'll go into an executive session. Well, that being said, today's Senate Rules Committee is adjourned.